Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have mostly clear skies and hanging around 17 degrees still here this morning at the KJN studios. We look for mostly sunny skies here today with northwest winds at 10 to 15 and a high of 48. Tonight, fair to partly cloudy, light northwesterly winds and a low of 23. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in-state and local news on KJAN. The Cass County Board of Supervisors will meet in person and electronically via Zoom beginning at 9 a.m. on Tuesday. During that session, the board will hold a public hearing concerning the status of expenditure funding the county received for COVID-19 response. According to Auditor Dale Sunderman, the county, working with the Cass County Food Policy Council, SWITA, county food pantries, and public health, increased its capacity with a food delivery system and food access in Cass County through an $86,580 community development block grant. As of November 16th, $76,086.63 had been expended. The board will also hold a public hearing on County Ordinance 37, adoption of Cass County Code, a recompiling of county ordinances in accordance with the Code of Iowa. They're also set to receive a report from the Cass County Committee on Aging and will act on accepting the resignation of a member of the Cass County Compensation Board, followed by the appointment to the Compensation Board, a member for the remainder of a four-year term ending June 30th of 2021. In other business, the Cass County Supervisors will discuss and or act on the establishment of deputy sheriff classification and a natural conservation and wildlife areas property tax exemption per Iowa code. The in-person part of their meeting for a limited number of attendees, including board members, will be held in the supervisor's boardroom at the Cass County Courthouse. U.S. Marshals in Nebraska and Iowa are looking for a man accused of attempted murder. A warrant for 36-year-old Benjamin Marley Manley was issued on December 2nd. Manley, who also goes by the name Christopher Reeves, is wanted for attempt to commit murder, intimidation with a dangerous weapon, and felon in possession of a firearm. He's described as being a white male, 5 feet 8 inches tall, 205 pounds, with brown hair and eyes. He has letters tattooed at the bottom of his neck and numerous tattoos on his chest and arms. Council Bluffs police believe it was Manley that shot at a female victim outside a gas station on Thanksgiving. Officials say he was seen in the Omaha and Council Bluffs area as recently as Friday morning. Manley went to prison in 2008 after he was arrested for shooting at a U.S. Marshal near Quick Trip on Saddle Creek in 2007. He was sentenced for 15 years. Authorities say Manley may be suicidal and attempt suicide by cop. He has a history of shooting at police. If you see him, do not attempt to detain or interact with the man. Call 911 immediately. Any information leading to his arrest will be rewarded by the U.S. Marshals up to $5,000. Call the Council Bluffs Department Crime Stoppers at 712-328-STOP with your tip on his location. Governor Reynolds on Friday announced a total of nearly $9 million in assistance is available to assist eligible low-income Iowans who are at imminent risk of eviction and individuals who have lost housing to quickly regain housing stability. The funding will also provide support for homeless shelter operations. The funds are made available through a supplemental appropriation to the Emergency Solutions Grant Program through the Federal CARES Act. That'll help prevent households from becoming homeless due to eviction, assist Iowans that have lost their home to eviction to regain rental housing, as well as provide homeless shelters with financial support to assist their operations and outreach, and as they work to serve Iowans in need and mitigate the spread of COVID-19. There are some eligibility requirements. Individuals in need of assistance must apply through the Coordinated Entry Helpline in their area, which is available along with additional eligibility and program information at iowahousingrecovery.com. 35 agencies were awarded a total of $8.8 million in Emergency Solutions Grant Program funds, and the assistance will remain available until all funds are exhausted or September 30th of 2022. The Emergency Solutions Grant Program is administered by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and the Iowa Finance Authority in partnership with participating Iowa service agencies. This year's pandemic has made a bad situation worse for tens of thousands of Iowans who aren't sure where their next meal may be coming from. The Food Bank of Iowa has launched its Hunger Free Holidays campaign, fundraising campaign. Spokeswoman Emma Rundy says the goal is to raise $1 million in order to purchase 4 million meals. She said, "We set a lofty goal with the hopes that we can reach it because there's a lot of people in need right now." Food insecurity since January of 2020 has doubled, and unfortunately for households with children, food insecurity rates have tripled. Rundy says $600,000 has been raised so far, but there's a ways to go yet before the goal is reached. She said people can go to the website hungerfreeholidays.org or the Food Bank of Iowa website and donate. She said it really doesn't take a lot to make a big impact. With $1, we can provide up to 4 meals. The Food Bank of Iowa serves 55 Iowa counties with mobile food pantries and aiding food banks in communities. State officials, including the governor, are urging Iowans who are stressed or depressed to go online for free help. The Iowa Department of Public Health reports that from March through September, 319 Iowans died of suicide, a rate slightly higher than the two previous years. Governor Reynolds says anecdotal information suggests that people are waiting longer than usual to seek help and are often already in crisis mode when they do. The state has used a federal grant to hire more than 100 staff who provide free counseling through appointments scheduled on the COVID Recovery Iowa website. Karen Hyatt is an emergency mental health specialist with the Iowa Department of Human Services. She said, we offer free personal counseling. We also have personal support engagement activities. We are finding there's been a lot of social isolation. We know that there have been older adults, some in nursing homes, who haven't been able to get out of their rooms really since May and some since March, so we put together a package of things. But Hyatt says the pandemic has exacerbated already anxious times for many Iowans. She said, we just came off a natural disaster along the Missouri River for the flooding. We have farmers who are in drought. We have the derecho in many, many counties affected by that. And so what this really has become and what we're hearing is the economic and mental health disaster on top of the physical. The federal grant means every Iowan of every age is eligible for counseling. The website, covidrecoveryiowa.org. There's also a toll-free number, 1-844-775-9276, to call for help. Deaths from the coronavirus in Iowa have reached their highest level since the beginning of the pandemic. Iowa Department of Public Health said Friday that 84 more residents were reported dead from the virus, a one-day high for the second straight day after recording 70 deaths on Thursday. And before Friday, the state of 3.1 million people has been averaging between 25 and 30 daily virus-related deaths for weeks. Their total since beginning of the pandemic surged past 2,600 on Friday. The rapid rise in deaths comes after the state's caseload peaked in mid-November, overwhelming some area hospitals. And Iowa's coronavirus dashboard here early today shows that deaths from COVID-19 are up again. The IDPH says 62 more deaths have been reported since 10 a.m. Friday for a total now of 2,665. One more death was reported in each of Cass, Adair, Mills, and Union counties, two more in Pottawatomie County, and three more in Shelby County. Long-term care facilities reported 1,114 deaths, while deaths attributed in part to pre-existing conditions number at 1,363. There are 2,368 new positive cases of COVID-19 statewide for a total of 242,061 since the pandemic began. Hospitalization statewide fell from 1,000 on Friday to 960 here today. Health officials say 204 patients are in an ICU, 117 patients on a ventilator. And here in the southwest western Iowa region, 56 are hospitalized, 19 in an ICU, and 7 currently on a ventilator. Long-term care facility outbreaks are up slightly to 137, and the number of Iowans that have recovered from the virus at 170,030. You can look at the county-by-county breakdown as well on the same story on our news page at KJN.com. That's a look at some of the area news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Eileen Goodrich, age 93, of Panora, died on Sunday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Eileen Goodrich will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Irene D. Arkfeld, age 96, of Panama, died Sunday at her home. A private family mass of Christian burial for Irene D. Arkfeld will be held today at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Ray Leto, age 83, of Greenfield, died on Tuesday at the Mercy One Hospice Home in Johnston. A mass of Christian burial for Ray Leto will be held today at 11 a.m. at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Lola Linton, age 55, of Harlan, died Saturday at Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Private family funeral services for Lola Linton will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Kelly Williams, age 58, of Atlantic, died November 26th at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Kelly Williams will be held today at 2 p.m. at the First Church of Christ in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. Patricia Frances Bloom, age 84, of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Mertu Medical Center in Harlan. A private family graveside service for Patricia Frances Bloom will be held today at 2 p.m. at St. Mary's Cemetery in Panama. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Marjorie Elizabeth Goebbels, age 88, of Harlan, died on Thursday at Mertu Medical Center in Harlan. A private family mass of Christian burial for Marjorie Goebbels will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Lawrence A. Reinig, age 86, of Portsmouth, died Wednesday at Mertu Medical Center. A private family mass of Christian burial for Lawrence Reinig will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at St. Mary's of the Assumption in Panama. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. George Mertz, age 105, of Walnut, died Friday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Private family funeral services for George Mertz will be held on Wednesday at 10 a.m. at First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Kelly Schlake, age 60, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Kelly Schlake will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has the arrangements. Deborah Faustin, age 68, of Greenfield, died November 22nd at Mercy One Hospice in Johnston. Celebration of life for Deborah Faustin will be held December 15th at 10 a.m. at the Cornerstone Fellowship Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home Greenfield has arrangements. Lauren Sporer, age 59, of Manning, died Friday at his home near Manning. A mass of Christian burial for Lauren Sporer is pending at Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Becky Ferris, age 62, of Atlantic, died Monday at a residence in Atlantic. Cremation has taken place. No services are planned for Becky Ferris at this time. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic assisting the family. And Dennis M. Priester, age 69, of Marnie, the owner of the Roadhouse Bar and Grill in Marnie, died Sunday at home. Per his wishes, cremation will take place, and a celebration of life for Dennis Priester will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care Atlantic has the arrangements. That's a look at your news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.